B-Pod Studios.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mike from Woburn. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
That guy, that article is just, you could tell it's written by someone who's not a hockey fan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Brad Marchand, in my opinion, has like transcended to the level of the greatest instigator in NHL history. He's better than Claude Lemieux. He's better than Dale Hunter. He's not as dirty. He's nowhere near as dirty. If that guy ever wanted to have, you know, his pearls clutched, he should go watch some of Claude Lemieux's highlights or Dale Hunter hitting, Peter Turgeon.
Yeah, and you can see Claude Lemieux break Draper's face apart on a hit and then a turtle, which is one of the most embarrassing. Would you agree that Claude Lemieux's turtle when Darren McCarty went after him is the most embarrassing moment in the history of sports in terms of the wimpiest?
In terms of personal impact, yes.
Yes.
And you know what, Fred? That's the greatest regular season, and maybe even if you want to include postseason game, in NHL history.
Yes.
Because that game was the most entertaining thing ever. And you know what? You want to talk about the refs? The ref that game, Paul Dvorsky, the greatest call ever. Darren McCarty only got a double minor for that assault on Claude Lemieux because Paul Dvorsky knew what Claude Lemieux was, knew what was at stake, and decided, you know what? I have to give this guy something, but I'm glad he gave Claude Lemieux something, and I'm not throwing him out. The guy that scored the overtime winner in that game, Darren McCarty. Greatest game ever.
Yeah, that was one of the great games of all time. You're shaking your head.
Locally, it was when Ulf Samuelsson turtled when Neely went after him.
Yeah, this was on a big stage.
No, it was a bigger stage. The Neely Samuelsson thing was a regular season game.
Well, no. What was the circumstances? So
Samuelsson hit Neely and ultimately caused, I believe, the knee injury that cost Neely his career.
Okay.
I mean, Neely was a 50-goal scorer. He wound up being a Hall of Famer. But Samuelsson was the guy who delivered the hit. And so Neely went after him. And when he finally got a hold of him, Samuelsson turtled. He put his head under his arms. Locally, that's the standard here.
Yeah. Lemieux hit Draper from behind. It was gruesome. I mean, they thought that there was a good chance Draper wasn't going to play again. He didn't play again that season. I mean, he broke his face apart. And then McCarty goes after him, and he just turtles. It's amazing to watch. Now, in fairness, when the next season started and they played Colorado, which was such a fun rivalry because they truly hated each other.
Yep.
And they put McCarty out there, and McCarty just beat the crap out of him.
No, I know what you're talking about. I remember seeing it. Yeah. And Lemieux is one of the great agitators. So
the best. See, the hockey was so fun then, too, because I remember when the Red Wings would play Toronto, like when Lemieux was the coach of Detroit. He would put Probert out with the first line, like at the faceoff, and then you'd see Domi get off the bench and replace someone, and then they would just fight as soon as the puck dropped.
Yep.
They just started fighting. All right, Billy Jaffe is with us, and we will talk to him, but first.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub app.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Speed ahead. Left wing feed. Marchand enters into the left circle. Shoots deflected. They score! 88. Able to redirect it home. David Pastrnak slams it in. A power play goal. Bruins 1. Hurricanes nothing.
Yo, what's up, guys? Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
What's up, guys?
Can I get in? Digital display?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Display.
Yo, what's up, guys?
I'm ready for the world.
Is anyone here?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Can I play?
Can I play too?
Yo, what's up, guys?
All right. Billy Jaffe is a friend of the show, and he is in Raleigh waiting to leave. I imagine not the most depressed he's ever been to get out of a city. And Billy Jaffe joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe from NHL Network, NHL Radio in Nesson. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Did you snap like Kevin Paul DuPont after being down there, and did you immediately start calling people hicks?
No, gosh, no, no. I'm mellow. I'm mellow. I'm having a good time down here. I had a nice time. Like, the weather was nice. I hardly saw anything except the hotel and the rink. I mean, that's all I saw just with the time. But all good. Having a, you know, Bruins playing well. People were very nice. There were a ton of Bruins fans last night.
Yeah,
the game.
Impressive. Good hear it. Yeah. Yeah.
Really, I mean, somebody said 20%. It might have been Ty Anderson, it seemed like.
Yeah, he said it was more.
No, it was, what's his face? Doc Emmerich.
Okay.
I think that would be, I don't know. I don't have a number, but I thought it was, I thought there was probably smatterings of 1,000 in game three, you know, throughout the arena. It's a big arena. It's about 19,000. I thought there was double that. So 2,000 to 3,000, I thought, of Bruins fans. And they were loud, and they bought a lot of tickets in the lower bowl. They did. I had a buddy, a Bruins fan, who flew in from Philly just to see it. He's a major Bruins fan, my buddy Jimbo, and he came in to see it. And there was tons of them there. They were having a good time. The Let's Go Bruins chants were significant. I'm sure, you could hear that. Fun atmosphere when it's all said and done. That was clinical last night. Absolutely a clinic by the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and after watching that, you know, Fred was even saying that he didn't feel any kind of fear of this team since, the first game?
In the first game when Carolina absolutely dominated the second period and only got a goal, I thought this was going to be a sweep.
Yeah, and for me it was the third game during that 20-goal or 20-shot attempt Tuukka Rask blockathon, which was just one of the best I've ever seen Tuukka Rask play. And after that, I was like, all right, well, you've just got a goalie who just is in the zone right now, and everyone's scoring on the Bruins. You got 19 guys that could score. I had no fear. But right now it leaves you to a place where they're going to have a lot of time off, it seems like. I know we've discussed not playing versus coming in after a few games and you're ready to go. What do you think is – do you think it's going to hurt them with the potential 10 days that they're going to have off until the next round?
I don't think it's going to help them in game one. That's for sure. I don't think so. If we're going to use history, recent history, Rich, as any kind of a base or as an example, it's going to be tough. I mean, this is they're going through a mini camp again coming up. After a couple of days off, they'll have mini camp basically. And there's a different mentality. Doesn't mean that obviously they can't end up winning, but I think it's going to be tough. I hearken back to 2003 where Anaheim had, I believe it was 9 days off in between Western Final and then the Cup when they played Jersey. And even though they lost in seven games, they kept saying they never felt like they did admit that the rest ended up being too much. They had a hard time getting into it right away in the sense of not that they weren't emotionally there, but just that physical, intensity that you have to re-elevate. We don't know who they're going to play just yet. If San Jose goes on and wins the next two games, it'll help. We know that. You guys, I'm sure, already talked about that. They'll start a little sooner. I don't have a hard date. It's going to be either next Saturday, Sunday, or Monday that they begin. That's what I keep hearing, one of those three. But we'll have to see. We know that Chara needs a little bit of rest. I guarantee you there's a couple of other players that could use some other rest, whether it's a Chris Wagner or one of the other guys. But When I saw, just to go back to last night, so I'm doing the game ringside, and I saw Patrice Bergeron playing, skating, determined like he was in that first period. I mean, that was a sight of beauty if you're a Bruins fan. I mean, he's always, he's as close to one of those perfect hockey players that we always talk about. He wasn't going to let that team down, especially with his buddy Big Z out of the lineup, with the captain out. He takes over as the de facto captain then. He wasn't going to let the team down. He was an absolute monster machine last night. I saw him the first few shifts, and I'm like, oh, boy, they mean Carolina. They're in trouble tonight.
All right. Well, I would counter with this. With this particular team going into the last series, obviously, of the season, and with that veteran core, Could you make the argument that, first of all, the time off, because the core is getting older, first of all, the time off, you know, probably beneficial for them. And second of all, like you just mentioned, guys like Bergeron and Chara are not going to let this team be complacent.
No, hell no. No way. No way. You're right.
Well, make up your mind, Jaffe.
This is an amazing leadership group from the two guys that you mentioned. David Backus. You got to tip your hat to Backus.
Sure.
You know, in and out. A lot of question about it. He's been damn good in his role. He really has. And we got some other guys. You know, Charlie McAvoy is now leading by example, and he's all 22 years old. So you're right. The leadership group's great. I'm saying it's just going to be, it's a different feel. Now these guys are going to relish the rest for a couple of days. Listen, the Bruins are still, even, I don't know who, you know, I don't have an analysis yet of San Jose or St. Louis for you.
San Jose's goaltending sucks. So that's nice. I mean,
it had until Martin Jones decided to play like an NHLer the last 6-7 games. It's been quite the flip of the switch. But I'm telling you, I still have the Bruins as the favorite over those two teams. We
right.
just don't know how they're going to react to all the rest. That's it. But this leadership group has been sparkling, and they've pushed all the right buttons. And part of that leadership group, by the way, is what Bruce Cassidy's doing. He's done a magnificent job. He really has at working things. So big hockey clap for him and his staff.
Kind of an understated plot line from last night's game is you got a brief look of what life is going to be like without Zdeno Chara. I mean, think about it. It's in a playoff scenario.
It's gonna rule.
Where everyone had to play. I mean, it's
Carlo and McAvoy. This is what we've been talking about the last 2 years. Carlo and McAvoy up front like that.
It's as high of a level of hockey as you can play. It's the Eastern Conference Final. It's an elimination game. And they helped pitch a shutout. So when you watched them play, I have to think that you probably started saying, okay, well, maybe, just maybe, the future's looking bright even after, you know, post-Chara.
Well, you're right. And let's not forget, they also have a guy by the name of Juro Vakanainen. Remember him, first-round pick from 2 years ago, who had a good year. He's a bit dinged up in the minors, but when he showed himself earlier, he was really good. Like, he's an NHL legit top few defense, top, you know, two on that left side. So they have a good future back there. It takes a little time, especially for the D crew, for a defenseman to really get themselves situated. But you're right, remember a couple of years ago, we thought that, you know, there was a lot of talk about this Bruins D isn't fast enough. Do you know that the game three changed completely on the skates of the D-men in the second period after Tuukka was phenomenal in the first? The Bruins defenseman, McAvoy.
Yeah, McAvoy looked great that game, yeah.
I mean, the mobility on the back end.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And he's so young, too. That's the thing. McAvoy's so young, and look how he's able to control the puck. He's so fast. I mean, it's like I just thought last night, it's the one thing that we really haven't, people aren't really talking about, is that you got to see at the highest level a Chara-less future, and it looks pretty bright.
But it does. And there's a round of applause to Don Sweeney and his staff, you know, stock in the cupboard of the Connor Clifton move, getting him. He's looked really good ever since he's come in. But he had a few plays in game three and game four where you're like, that's confidence for a kid that has, you know, basically 30 games of NHL experience under his belt. But I agree that the future looks good on the back end, and the present looks equally as good too. And you get Big Z back, and hopefully he gets healthy. You know, he was going through his routine yesterday, and watching him yesterday morning, no indication of anything. That does lead me to believe too that it's just a minor thing. Hopefully, you know, he brings such a different element. But the good thing is, to your point, Rich, is that, you know, and by the way, what were they during I think it was 11-7-2 during the regular season when Chara wasn't in the lineup, the Bruins record was in those 20 games. So they showed even then that they can handle it. So they're just a confident group. They really are. And that's just something that you can say, but until you're around it daily and you see it, you understand it. And they have nothing rattles this group right now. Nothing has rattled them.
All right, Billy Jaffe, thank you so much for the time, sir. Safe travels, and pick a job. What are you doing for the game? Are you doing anything for the Sharks and Blues?
No, I'm coming home. You and I are going to go out. We're going to have a beer. I'm coming home. I'm done. and I'm gonna be home and then work Nesson for the cup.
All right. Well, so, you know, I drink almost constantly, so I'll be around.
I know. So I'll see you in a few hours. All right.
All right. Take it easy, Billy.
See you guys.
All right. So there you go, Billy Jaffe. I'm not worried about the time off with this team.
I just think it's a little too much. I agree, Fair Fred. Enough. They Fair they enough. Should they need 3 or 4 days. They got a lot of guys in their 30s, and Char's 42, and whatever forced him out of last night's game. He needs obviously a few days to heal up.
Yep.
Any 42-year-old hockey player needs more than one or two.
Yeah.
But 7, 8, 9 days, that's too much.
It's just funny because you think about after the playoffs are over, remember, you always get the reports.
Yeah, the injury report. Yeah. Where everyone's broken and
they've
beaten.
Been playing with 18 broken ribs.
Oh, yeah. Recky passed a kidney stone during an off day. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, Bergeron played with a punctured, with a broken rib that punctured his lung.
Punctured lung. He went straight from game 6 when they got eliminated by the Blackhawks to the hospital. And I don't think he left for like 5 days.
No.
Remember,
true.
He was there for a while.
So,
and Chara went straight to Canopy Lake Park to ride the rooster of doom.
I'm not happy. All right, so just that ability to heal, I think, is... And now, granted, like you're not going to heal a broken rib in 9 days, but I'm a little more confident going into this round because, like, there's the light at the end of the tunnel. I think going into the second round, it might hurt a team more than it is in the final, so that makes any sense.
I was worried
about... No, it does. I agree, because you're right. I mean, at this point... Everyone's just getting hit so many times over and over and over and over again. It's not like at the beginning of the playoffs where it's all about momentum. I understand
plus,
what you're saying.
I mean, you're playing at most 7 more games. I mean, you got to – I think it's easier than the marathon that's the playoffs.
Another guy who needs to rest is Grizzlick. He did not look good at the end of the game last night. So he's one of those guys that needs 3 or 4 days off.
Yeah. I think Krug needs time off. I just
well, they're all small guys getting bashed repeatedly by guys that are 5 inches taller and 30 or 40 pounds heavier. I would imagine that would be welcome.
All right. We'll be right back talking more Bruins, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Exit 17B.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
And now the horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins victorious here tonight. 3-0 in game 6 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win the series 4-2, and they are on to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013.
And Hamilton the Pig, the Canes' good luck charm, was on hand tonight at the Carolina Ale House. Canes fans were very happy to see him here supporting the team.
Out of the slot, Camper, shoots, he scores! 1-0 Bruins! One-timer, out in front, they score! Marcus Johansson! Tigers got it into the far circle, walks in, he scores! The Boston Bruins come from behind, have taken game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final. Game 2 is underway. Johansson with a high slot. Feeds left to the net, fired, they score! Here's Krug off the faceoff win. To the far point, drilled out in front of Morozic. The same rebound, they score! Flipped it, right corner, centered, centers it again, they score! And Connor Clifton with his first Stanley Cup playoff goal! Bergeron might have a breakaway. Over the line, 2-on-1, right circle. Threads it out in front, backhand, they score! Your final 6-2 Bruins. The Boston Bruins demolished the Carolina Hurricanes in game 2. Rister deflected, Rask the save, rebound, Rask, what a stop, and then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter.
Wagner.
Markstrom.
Center's deflected. They score! Chris Wagner took the slap pass out in front from Joakim Markstrom. Stuffed it home. 1-0 Bruins.
Left circle, Marchand.
Pulls it to the slot. Backhand. They score! Marchand with a backhand shot. A power play goal. 2-0 Bruins. The Boston Bruins have taken a stranglehold on the Eastern Conference Final.
What's up, guys?
They score! Center fired, they score! Patrice Bergeron with a rocket just inside the near post. A power play goal, and they lead 2-0 late in the second period.
Puck intercepted by the Bruins out in front. Pastrnak shoots, they score!
And Bergeron hammers it home. Bruins 3, Hurricanes nothing. There's Marchand. He'll wheel over the line to the slot, shoots, he scores! Everybody on the top line's got a cookie tonight, and they are celebrating on the bench.
The Boston Bruins are going to collect their seventh consecutive win. This is a black and gold freight train,
and the horn sounds. Tuukka Rask closes out the series with another shutout. The Boston Bruins are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time this decade. They sweep the Carolina Hurricanes. The Boston Bruins will start the Stanley Cup Final in Boston.
Five, the sports up with Sutcher and Rich.
You know what? I'm going to be the one of the thousand people who will probably say this today. But how much does this make the Celtics season? How much worse does this make this? I mean, I just imagine if the Bruins go on to win the Stanley Cup.
Looks awful.
I mean, just how much worse does it make the
looks
way the season
awful
ended?
Because everyone thought the Celtics would make a run instead of the Bruins this year.
Now, I didn't think they're the
months
Celtics.
Ago,
I
two months ago, they did.
Even at the beginning of the season, I didn't think the Celtics were going to win the championship this year. I think they had a shot to. I still think that the Warriors were the superior team. But, I mean, at least they had a shot. At least they had a shot to a fighter's chance to make it to the finals. And now that they haven't. And I saw, and I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently the Patriots official account congratulated the Bruins.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The Red Sox official account congratulated the Bruins.
Alex Cora sent out a tweet that said four more.
And once again, I haven't seen since this morning, but apparently it's radio silence from the Celtics.
That is true. And if you think about the core of this team that have been here throughout their whole careers,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone loves them.
Yeah,
I defy anyone anywhere in any part of the world that dislikes Patrice Bergeron.
Right. Yeah.
The one athlete in town I want my son to aspire to be in terms of character. Marchand is hated, but he's loved here. I mean, who hates Zdeno Chara?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's nothing to hate on this team. This is a team that came together as a unit. Ty Anderson's been covering the team for a long time. He says this is the most that they've seemed as a unit since 2011.
Everyone loves America's favorite new next-door neighbor.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You know, of course, causing mischief.
He knows someone who put him in a national commercial for some reason, even though no one outside of Boston knows who Pastrnak is.
By the way, the young guys, too, have all seemed to gel. And it's not just – listen, winning brings out a lot of, like, camaraderie, and you see it all the time. It looks like – anytime you're winning, it's like, oh, these guys all really get along. But this has been this way – for most of the season. And if you look at Charlie McAvoy's Instagram or you see even David Pastrnak last night, it seems to be all of the young guys are in one crew and then there's the vets, but they all respect each other.
Right.
And so, I mean, there was a video that McAvoy put up there and they were, what was that Bad Boys for Life song? It was the same one that Tom Brady did with Rob Gronkowski when they were going to the Super Bowl. And it's him. It's, I believe DeBrusque was in there. You see a couple of the other like younger guys, and Torrey Krug's part of their crew as well. And yeah, so they're all, I mean, it seems like this is not only a likable team, but you're right, it's a hockey town. Even Gorman said that when he was on here. And he goes, even when the Celtics do well, this is a hockey town.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see them do well.
Bruins own the building. Celtics just play in it. True story.
Judged by the seats.
Yeah.
Yellow and black seats, baby. That's what they put that in there because they thought it looked empty.
Yeah.
So they wanted to make it look like more Bruins fans were there.
When they were bad, that's when the change. You guys were here. When they were bad, they changed the seat colors.
I had half-season tickets right next to the bench.
You watched the Dave Lewis special, baby.
I get Dave Lewis, and then I got rid of the tickets, and all of a sudden they made the playoffs and took Montreal to seven games.
Yep.
And I realized, oh, they've gotten a lot better. Imagine if I still had those tickets.
Yep.
Because I'd only go to like 10 games.
Yeah, and you'd sell the rest off and make your money back.
You used to put a chart on the wall of the radio station like, hey, sign up if you want these tickets. And it just looked like an empty sheet.
Yeah. And then they'd be playing someone like Pittsburgh, and I'd put the tickets on eBay, and I'd take a bath on them.
That's crazy.
And people would always contact me afterwards and go, wow, these are the best seats I've ever had to a game. And I'd be like, yeah, thanks for the $50.
This is kind of funny. Somebody said, if the Bruins beat the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup Finals, I will forever blame Kyrie Irving for ruining Boston's once-in-a-universe chance to sweep California teams in championships.
That's right.
Since the Celtics would have faced the Warriors more than likely.
All right. I want to take this because he wants to call out Wallach, which I enjoy. Gary, go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you, Gary. Thanks for hanging out.
No worries. I just I got to call out Wallach, and I think you should lead the hype mix tape or whatever with the Bruins victory with him after game one claiming that this was going to go six games, and he was concerned at how the speed of the game went.
Yeah.
You guys got to
– I tweeted it out. I was absolutely wrong. I was absolutely wrong. I was fooled. Carolina dominated them for two periods, and I thought – yes, this was going to be a much more difficult series. God, is Carolina bad. They were bad all the way through. I don't know how Washington lost in seven games to that team. It was utterly ridiculous.
We need that in the hype mixtape. And then I've got to give credit to Bird. He was a gentleman on the phone. He bought me back up. I got dropped. I also think that we should give him a shift at Starbucks. and see how he audits the cups when they're waiting with the name.
Real quick, what is your name?
It's Barry.
It's Barry. Well, you know what his name is? Your name is on the screen? Gray.
What is it?
G-R-A-Y.
And you're Gray.
And your name is Barry? So I thought maybe Gary, and he misspelled Gary, but it's Barry. But today you, sir, are Gray.
I'll take Gray. His tone, his cadence on the call, it was excellent. He did an awesome job. Wallach, thank you for admitting that you were completely wrong.
It was.
You guys have an awesome day. Go Bruins, and Raleigh sucks.
That's right.
Well, apparently it does. I was unaware of that until a week ago.
There's Bird walking around. Let me take a Starbucks, cause only $5. Let me take a Starbucks, cause only $5. Coffee Starbucks, for Gray. Gray. Why is there no one getting their coffee? It's Gray.
Yeah, everything is great. Yeah, that'd be funny if you...
I don't mean to step on it, but I may have actually been the one that answered that call when he called.
Oh, really?
Bird wasn't in the studio. He wasn't. There was a lot of wandering.
Hang on. So all the credit again for you being nice and cordial. That was you who did it.
Then I put them on hold. I usually don't screen him because it's not up on his screen. So I usually don't.
And it's also not your job.
Well, Bird was okay. There was several
a lot going on in the kitchen.
Yeah, I understand. Bird had to make his seventh English muffin and peanut butter.
Wait, calls
sandwich.
Are coming in. Legit, doing a show. Oh, no. Calls are coming in, and he's over there.
And there's balloons, so you know that took him like 5 minutes.
Thought there was cake, ice cream.
It's somebody's birthday. That's right.
I mean, in fairness, you can't put birds around. You can't put balloons around Bird. I mean, you can't expect
Nick was
him not
distracting
to
him.
It's like a cat around a laser.
Yeah.
What's going, potty? What's potty? You got a potty? You got to pop him? Let me pop him. What is this potty with?
One day I'm just going to put in that bubble wrap stuff and just put it in front of him and just see if he can avoid.
He'd lose his mind. Put a flashlight in front of him. Batteries be out before he could get through it. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack of rooms?
Oh, we have the most controversial movie casting of all time. Possibly a major franchise ends up casting a star that has caused an uproar. We will get to that in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And one thing that John brought up off air was that something that's going to be just useless. And it's they're doing live versions of the Jeffersons and All in the Family.
I don't get it. So I heard you guys say this. Does that mean they're going to do a, like, a one-off, or is this going to be every week like Saturday Night Live?
No, it's a one-off. It's next Wednesday, ABC, 8 o'clock to 9:30.
And since our country is so dumb, they won't understand the irony of Archie Bunker's racial views. Therefore, they will not allow him to have racial views. Therefore, controversial racial views. Therefore, it's pointless. It's like having Malibu Express without the... without the nudity.
They got some big names doing it, though.
Yeah, good. So they can go and do an incredibly sanitized version of a 70s show.
So we have Jamie Foxx as George Jefferson, Wanda Sykes as Louise Jefferson.
Stop. I don't like either one. I mean, Jamie Foxx is all right, but yeah. Wanda Sykes, I've never been a big fan of hers.
But now she's very preachy.
And Woody Harrelson, Archie Bunker, Marissa Tomei, Edith Bunker.
Okay. Out of the four of those, the more I think about it, Jamie Foxx might be pretty good. Woody Harrelson as Archie Bunker is at least inspired.
They might as well make him the dad from Michael Gross from Family Ties.
Yeah, you can't.
He's not going to be able to do anything.
Well, you can't do the type of, like, if you took any script randomly, just here's the stack of scripts of All in the Family and grabbed one of them, I guarantee you could not do it on TV today.
Will Ferrell is Tom Willis.
I don't even know what character Tom Willis
was. I don't either.
Was.
I was hoping you guys would know.
No, I have no idea.
Kerry Washington is
Tom Willis
this?
Is in the Jeffersons.
I think so.
He's the neighbor.
Okay.
He's married to the black lady.
It's Will Ferrell and Kerry Washington is his wife.
And I don't even know if I can say on the air what George Jefferson called his neighbor.
I don't even remember.
It starts with an H, ends with a Y.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not even positive I can say that.
Sean Hayes is in this.
Anthony
Anderson is in this. Stephen Tobolowsky is Harry Bentley, the Jeffersons' next-door neighbor.
Okay, so hang on. So they're trying to kind of recreate a 1970s hour-and-a-half, like, Thursday night lineup, right?
I don't know how they're doing it. All I know is the time block they have.
And it's just two shows, or is it three? Because you said it's from 8 to 9:30?
8 to 9:30.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's what they're trying to do. It's a decent stunt, but they picked the wrong shows to recreate.
Absolutely.
It's live television, too, which
the
is
the brilliance of All in the Family. Except for the super creepy one where the guy is trying to assault Edith. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's one of the few that I've seen. Because when it was on when I was a kid, I didn't get any of it, so I didn't watch it.
But the brilliance of that show was it pointed out how idiotic blind racism and nationalism is. But our society is so stupid that they won't get that. Just like they wouldn't do The Office now because they can't realize it's through the lens of an idiot.
Is it set in today's date or is it set in the 70s?
All I know, it's hosted by Norman Lear and Jimmy Kimmel. It's directed by James Burrows. So it looks like it's just an event. We're going here and we're going there.
There's a tiny glimmer of hope. The fact that you said Norman Lear and Burrows are behind it. There's a time. Because Burrows was...
He was the guy who originally directed these, right?
So you've got two of the guys who originally... Because I doubt they want anything tainted, like their reputation tainted by doing this. Unless, Fred... Oh, boy. This is like an apology tour. Like, they look at some of their old stuff and realize, maybe this is...
No. I just heard an over-hour interview with Norman Lear, and he is
And he's unapologetic?
Proud.
Okay. Well, then actually, there's a little bit of hope there, then.
No, because you could make the argument that All in the Family was good for the country.
Ooh, Jack Hay is in this, too.
Really?
I do believe so.
Hello, Jurgens.
Jack Hayes. Diane Stockwell.
We got a little private pants-off dance-off at the Touch Around.
Jack Hayes.
You give me a sexy young African goddess, and I will tell you what.
227, that was the show, right?
Yep, I used to play with myself.
Well, he says it every time we bring it up.
And then Marla Gibbs would come on, and I go, get off the screen!
So that sounds next week? Is that when it's going to be?
Wednesday.
All right.
Wednesday night. God bless them if they do an actual, the way that it was intended to be done. I mean, Norman Lear is praised for that show. It's considered one of the best television shows in history. Mm-hmm. And it did a lot of good, I think, because it showed how absurd people that are blindly racist sound.
Well, that casting didn't seem near as controversial as the other one that was announced yesterday, as in a franchise that seems to have been ruined ever since Ben Affleck showed up and said, I want to be Batman. There was rumor that he was going to direct his own movie called The Batman. And I thought it would be a good idea because Ben Affleck is a better director than he is an actor. He's a really good director, but he's kind of sucked as Batman. He didn't suck. He just wasn't great. Then again, I didn't like Christian Bale, so don't listen to my opinion about Batman. However, they did announce who is going to be in the new one instead, because Affleck said, I'm out. And that person, Robert Pattinson. That's right, the hunk vampire from Twilight. Now, before you vomit and say, what the hell were they thinking? That guy, for about the last 6 or 7 years, has chosen to make the weirdest films that he could possibly find. And I think it was a brilliant idea, because along the way, he became a pretty damn good actor. There's a film that you should watch called Good Time. Now, Good Time, you've got to have the stomach for it because it is insanely violent and really seedy. It's about him and his brother live in New York City, and they go rob a bank. And in the middle of the bank robbery, his brother ends up getting captured by the cops and going to jail. But there's guys in jail that they know want to kill him. So the whole movie is this dude going into the dark underworld of New York to try to earn $10,000 to bail his brother out. And it is effed up. And Robert Pattinson is excellent in it. I never would have thought it. I didn't expect it. Someone told me, dude, you got to see that movie. I was like, that's the hunk from Twilight. I'm not going to watch it. He goes, trust me, it's great. Once you see that movie, you'll completely change your mind. This guy's going to be an excellent Batman. The movie's probably still going to suck, though, because, I mean, honestly, there hasn't been a good Batman movie since The Dark Knight. That third Batman with Christian Bale sucked. The one with Bane, it was awful. So, there you go. If you're looking for a good movie to watch, you got to go watch that movie. It's called Good Time. You'd like it, Fred. It's excellent. Also, if you're going to watch something else, I've watched now I Think You Should Leave. There's several skits that I've watched. I think I've watched the one where he's the country singer and he's in the recording studio. I think I've watched that 7 times.
I drove home yesterday. It took me a half an hour, and I talked to my friend about that show for the entire time.
It's your new obsession, and it's 15 minutes long each episode. It's on Netflix.
How many episodes?
6. So you can watch. You can binge the entire thing in an hour and a half.
Okay.
And there are, each one has about 4 or 5 skits per episode, so like 3 minutes long per skit. There are probably 4 to 5 skits that touch the sun.
Yeah, they got motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. And they got a lot of other stuff, too. All day yesterday, I was thinking, and they used their bones for money. Then they ripped out their hair, but not all the way.
I want a wheel that doesn't go flying off.
The steering wheel, fly out the window. You got to watch it, dude.
Okay.
We're quoting things that nobody sees.
I like where this is going.
These are two nerds just quoting things that no one knows.
Right? We're like the guys who realized the other one saw Monty Python back in the day.
Yes, exactly.
We are the Knights Who Say Neat. You've done that before, John Wallach. I know you have at many a D&D gathering.
No. Yeah, I cannot stand Monty Python.
See, I grew up like I watch Monty Python, so there's a special place in my heart for some of those
skits. It's
just
a flesh wound.
But I understand why it's goofy and why it's going to be annoying.
A lot of very talented comedians that I respect love Monty Python. I don't get it at all. What John Cleese did Saturday Night Live one time, and I guess they have a skit about a dead parrot.
Oh yeah, the parrot sketch, which isn't one of the better sketches.
But it was like insisting on him being funny, and you're like, and he's like, oh no, the parrot is that, and you're like, dude, shut up. Like, none of this is funny. Like, it was one of those things where you're like, we're supposed to bow down to the guy and just laugh because he's standing there.
Look at us,
we were walking in a funny fashion.
I watched part of The Holy Grail because it was on Netflix the other day. I just popped it on just to see if it was still funny, and I found myself like belly laughing. There's a couple scenes that I know that like the famous ones. Like, I mean, the scene where there's the guy who's the big goat man. There's a big builder. There's some who call me Tim.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll talk to Scott.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.org. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Scott Zolak was at the Pints for Pete yesterday.
Yeah. Good time. Good little spot that Capo.
I love that
restaurant
place.
Upstairs.
Dude, that whole stretch right there on Broadway where you've got the Lincoln Tavern, yep. You got Loco Taqueria, and then you've got Capo over there.
Good luck parking anywhere there. Yeah, that was an issue.
You got to take a cab or you got to take the T.
They got a great venue downstairs, like two stages. It's pretty cool. Long bar.
You know who plays downstairs? You know who plays downstairs regularly? Ron Poster. He's got a band. Yep, the organist for the Bruins.
Does he take the organ down?
It's like a swing band that
That's
he's got.
Awesome.
And they play downstairs at Capo all the time.
Good for him. How's he doing? Health, because I know he had the health issue, right?
I think he's okay.
Good.
I know that we've reached out to him for something. Actually, Dan, our producer, spoke to me. Does he sound like he's doing okay? Good.
Nice.
I know he's been doing the organs because Doc Emmerich.
Should get his ass in here for the cup run.
Maybe. Did it work?
It worked great. I thought it sounded great on radio.
No. Did we do it in 2011? Because I don't want to jinx anything.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They did.
I think we did.
Yeah. Okay.
And we did it all the years they lost.
Then you should bring Crash back for a day, and we could do that Journey tribute band again.
Oh, that was great.
That was a lot of fun.
You see, that was one of my
best days ever at the Sports Hub.
Yeah, with the Journey tribute band.
He showed up an hour early and just parked himself on the couch and watched.
That's what it was.
Play Open Arms.
Well, there's a video of him, like, I was bored and I was looking on YouTube and there's a video of him. I wasn't there at Game On and they're playing Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, I was there. I filmed that video.
And he's sitting there with the beer bottle singing into
it. Running all around. Oh, yeah. That was his happy place. That was his happy place.
That was his happy place. And I think that if I was there, I would have hated him with
everything. I sang that last night at the band. Don't Stop Believing. I did it last night.
We need to do that one more time. Maybe during the summer. We used to have live house bands as bring us in and out. That was great because that's how we met the Rush cover band. What were they called?
Oh, they were great.
Lotus Land.
Lotus Land.
Who absolutely ruled. Like, Lotus Land and the Journey cover band were hysterical. Like, the more random the cover band, the better.
Played
like,
the 10th anniversary
did
party.
Did your party.
They did, what's that? Yeah, they did our 10th anniversary party, which was great.
That was a great party because they had, like, you guys had that upper deck. You could, like, kind of go up in there and hang out and yell stuff down.
It was great whenever we were just, like, kind of on stage. And all the Zolak, and we see you standing up starting your own chant.
Frank gets so distracted regarding anything he's doing. And it's just, that's the only reason I wasn't prepared to do it.
Yeah.
It was good times.
All right. Very exciting. The Stanley Cup final.
How do you like to be a Celtic right now?
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Like being a member of that front office, like, boy, every freaking team has done it except us. And really, we were the favorite.
On paper. Yep. They were the favorite.
Yeah. Seriously. We're going to do a lot of that today, I think. But, man, Fred, it's great. No more Southern hockey talk.
Oh, God.
It was more in your face. You know what, Char? Take the night off.
That's what they did.
We don't need you.
I know. That's what they did. It was just like, yeah, okay. Well, listen, hey, we can win one out of these.
Quickly, four. When people call you and give – when people
we had a couple Halak calls yesterday. Let's play Halak.
No. But when people, like, text you on your personal phone and ask if you'll do an appearance, did they tell you how they got your number?
No, but I usually know the people.
Okay, so you know – but if a stranger –
If there's a weird number comes up and I listen to the message, I call him back. I'm like, how'd you get my number?
Yeah. A guy in Charlotte wouldn't tell me.
Your agent gave it to me. Or...
No, a guy in Charlotte wouldn't tell me. Wouldn't tell me who it was. Who gave him the number?
It's very Jay Stewish.
Did you hear Jay Stew yesterday? He was going, Kyrie's a little bitch.
I'm a nice man.
I've been telling everybody for 6 months what a bitch he is and nobody listens.
I just picture Kyrie Irving driving around hearing that.
That would bear stuck in a tree. You see Jay Stu. I wish there was a cat up there because I'd get it down.
Now I need a fireman. I've gone too far.
All right, everyone, enjoy your weekend.
Look out for loose bears around town.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big-ass bear that's running around wherever that is.
Arlington.
Arlington.
Yeah, just trying to get something to eat.
Jaffe can beat it up.
Okay, I don't know if I can hit him with my hands or maybe I should get a tool.
You know, he's not even from Canada. He's got that fake accent.
He's a hoser.
All right, everyone, have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.